This is New England Public Media. I'm Kari Njeri. The Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians today are based in Wisconsin, but their homeland previously spanned the Housatonic and Hudson River valleys and stretched from Manhattan to northern Vermont. Over the decades, members of the tribe have come back to the Berkshires to protect cultural sites. New England Public Media's Nancy Cohn reports on recent efforts to retell the tribe's story and reclaim objects, including a centuries-old document.
Standing among the gravestones at the Stockbridge Cemetery, Bonnie Hartley says this place is special to her, not so much because of who's buried here, but because of who lived here.
The land that we're standing on now is the original lands of my direct ancestor, David Nonanikinuk.
Hartley is the tribe's historic preservation manager, work, she says, that can be frustrating and spiritually exhausting. That's one reason she comes here.
We feel that we can directly draw strength from our ancestors that live here, and it feels empowering to be on his land and to feel that we can connect with him.
Hartley's ancestor was part of a new township set up by royal charter in 1737, first called Indian Town and later Stockbridge. It was an unusual arrangement, bringing colonists and native people together in a Christianized community. At the time, the tribe was losing ground to the Dutch and English. For 4 days, tribal leaders discussed at a council fire whether accepting a Christian missionary was the best road to survival.
But they eventually agreed to come here and start this experiment, really, of how to have English settlers with Mohican tribal members side by side sharing the governance of the town.
Native people served as selectmen, constables, and surveyors. But over time, the colonists started to take control of town government and the land. By the end of the 18th century, dispossessed of their homelands, most of the Stockbridge Indians had left, heading west, then north. By the mid-1800s, they had settled in Wisconsin. Hartley says she's struck by how much from her people is still in the Berkshires, but not known or seen.
It's been erased. It's invisibilized, and it seems like to some degree on purpose. You know, what exists today are the burying ground monument. It gives a sense of everyone's dead and gone. It's over, rather than something that connects to what happened, you know, the real story of how our tribe was dispossessed from here and where we ended up, how we've survived.
A priority now for the tribe and Hartley's focus is obtaining the bodily remains of their people from museums and historical societies.
Repatriating ancestors who have been disturbed from the ground and are on shelves to rebury them, and to repatriate other cultural objects that are important to our community.
We are in the Mission House, the office of the Mission House.
This 1742 house museum, owned by the trustees of reservations, is curated by Mark Wilson. For a long time, the museum focused on John Sargent, the missionary to the Stockbridge Indians. His office was the first thing visitors saw.
It's where he met with members of the Stockbridge Mohican Indian tribe, particularly Chief Kunkapot and Lieutenant Umpachene. It's furnished with his desk and some chairs.
But a few years ago, tribal members asked why their story wasn't more prominent. Now, Sargent's office has been moved. In its place, a display written by tribal members telling their history. And in a glass case,
a conch shell, which was used by the tribe to call people to meetings and to worship.
Wilson says, besides shifting the story of the Mission House to the perspective of the Stockbridge Mohicans, the trustees is also changing some names and signs on a mountain about 3 miles south of here.
Come here, Seth. Come here.
Hiking up Monument Mountain in Great Barrington, I come across Chris Graham and his dog, Sophie. Graham hikes here often. I ask if he knows why it's called Monument Mountain.
I don't. I know that there's the monument at the top of it. The inscribed rock?
That inscription describes the donation of the land to the trustees, but the name monument refers to something left behind by the native people, explains retired Stockbridge police chief and local historian Rick Wilcox. He's taking me on this hike.
There is an actual pile of stones or a cairn on the far side of the mountain. It was along the Indian Trail between Great Barrington, Sheffield, and Stockbridge. They would travel by that path, and when they went by it, they would drop a rock on the pile.
It's considered a sacred site. But treasure-hunting vandals looted the pile in 1840. It was later reconfigured, but it's not well marked. Before we find it, Wilcox takes me to the tippity top.
Yeah, they call this part Squaw Peak, yes.
But squaw is now considered a derogatory slur. The Stockbridge Mohicans have asked the trustees to change the name to Piscasso, meaning virtuous woman. The trustees is doing that, as well as renaming a trail and adding signage to better reflect tribal culture. As we descend, Wilcox points out the monument, the stone pile, around 5 or 6 feet tall.
It's wonderful to be able to see it, and it's unfortunate that it was desecrated. You know, so much of their history has been hidden or wiped out. And so this, I guess, is in some ways an example of a piece of their history that was kind of brought back to life.
Wilcox describes another piece of Mohican history recently discovered in the old town hall in Stockbridge, an original 1780 document.
A request from the tribal leaders to hold a meeting of the Indian proprietors of the town, and it was signed by all of the tribal leaders. And it's extremely important in terms of tribal history.
Important because it shows the tribe was taking action to end its relationship with two colonists who represented the tribe in land sales and who were doing the tribe wrong.
Every indication from the records that I've looked at that the two English settlers were helping themselves to land, and the Mohican people were already being dispossessed at a very rapid pace.
Wilcox says he jumped up and down when he learned about the discovery of the document. Tribal preservation manager Bonnie Hartley says as she held this paper in her hand, signed by her ancestors, she could feel their struggle to hold on to their land.
You feel the words on the page like they're being spoken to you by that person right now. It's just a very powerful experience.
Hartley says the Tribal Museum in Wisconsin doesn't have any original documents from the 1700s. She's hoping the Stockbridge Town Meeting will vote to take steps to give it to the tribe.
You know, when there are original documents, we always get a copy. You know, we're always the ones that just get a copy of what it is or the transcription, but we don't get to have our own ancestors' writings.
Getting it may mean facing a legal hurdle. A Massachusetts law requires certain city or town documents created before 1870 be retained. It's not clear yet if that law applies, but Hartley hopes, with the goodwill the tribe has now in Stockbridge, that the timing is right to reclaim this piece of history. For New England Public Media, I'm Nancy Cohen.